I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
We're back for another week in paradise.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Yeah. How you doing?
I am... It's hard to answer that right now.
Oh.
So many things. But I'm a bit heightened, right? So I'm feeling a bit heightened, and like energy levels where I've been all over the place today. I've just been in a state of anxiety for various things, work-related, and I've tried to get the guy asleep. So, dear listeners, this could go awry very quickly. I might have screaming children upstairs. I'm home alone. Preface this. I'm home alone with the kids, tried to get them sleep. I failed. I'm so dedicated. I've gone, right, I'm playing this. Go to sleep with this on. I'll do my podcast with Boris. So I'm going to actually have a trip drink, which is going to hopefully calm me down.
About the part two of the Loki season two.
Loki series two. Before we get to Loki series two, part two.
Yeah.
Episodes 4 to 6.
Yeah.
I was gonna be a little bit trivial, have a little chin wag.
Yeah.
About Fallout.
Oh, let's do it.
Because actually, me and you, everybody might be aware that there's been a new Amazon series of Fallout. Fallout is a well-known video game that's now translated to the screen. Mind-blowing, Matt.
Oh, it's so good. It's so flipping good. I've been a fan of Fallout since Fallout 3. I remember playing it as a teenager, and honestly, it blew my mind up. All the games from Fallout 3 onwards, New Vegas, Fallout 4, I'm on 76 at the moment. And I got to say, this series, from my standpoint, has got to be the most true to the game TV series adaptation out there. Like, it is an homage in every way. There are so many hints to the games. There are so many nods to the games. And also from a plotline standpoint, it's so integral about the games as well. I love it. I'm on my second watch because Rachel was watching it as well. So we're kind of like
second watch already.
Yeah.
I love it that much.
Yeah.
It's so good. Like, and I love how graphic it is. It's so, you know, I am about to blow your mind though, Matt. I'm about to probably make you a very cross Mr. Juicin.
Oh my God.
I'm playing through Fallout 4 at the moment. I have never finished a Fallout game. And in fact, the only amount of Fallout I've played is half an hour of New Vegas and 45 minutes of Fallout 4.
Oh, So, when I say
I'm playing Fallout 4, it's basically for the first of the time. Because for one reason or another, it's not because of the game necessarily. I've just never got into it, right? Mm-hmm. But literally, I've only just got to the Commonwealth and started bringing, and they're coming over back to the Sanctuary. I'm already loving life. I'm having a whale of a time. Can't believe I've never done this properly before. Like, what am I playing at?
It's so good. Mate, oh my God, you've got so much to experience.
Oh, I've got all the add-ons. Like, I'm loving life, mate. I can't wait. Like, I am sinking my teeth into it.
Have you got the DLCs? Have you got, like, Far Harbor and stuff?
Yeah. Oh. Far Harbor and Nuka World, I think.
Oh, you are!
I can't wait.
You're gonna have a blast.
I can't wait, mate. I'll give you a weekly update, sweetheart.
Is that your news? That's your news. I've got some news for you.
Oh, I can't wait, mate.
So, I mean, I know we've been doing this recording technically for 14 minutes. I doubt very much we're gonna get 14 straight minutes from the whole technical issues we've had, dear listeners. But, mate, over the week. I did send you a message saying I've got something to show you, but I'm going to wait for the podcast because I need to get your genuine reaction because I'm trying to find it now. And I basically have been pissing about with a little something. You know, we kind of like we're 100 episodes in, and I was like, oh, you know what? Let's shake it up a little bit. Let's shake it up. Maybe we need a new theme song.
I have no idea what you're about to present to the table.
I think we need a new theme song. So I'm gonna play the first one that I created. So I went to AI. Okay. I didn't go to the bands and the musicians that I actually know.
Heaven forbid.
No, I went straight to AI. So I'm a complete hypocrite here. To quicken the process, I went to AI and asked to see if they could create basically a song about us, you and me, Forrest.
Oh my God.
And a few podcast introduction themes as well.
Amazing.
And I'll be quite honest, I was slightly blown over by all of it. Like it was blown away. Like it was so good. I'm going to play one. Okay, this is a song about you and me. And I asked AI to write a song about the journeys of Matt and Forrest in their podcast journey.
Genuinely have never heard this before, listeners. Genuinely never heard any of this.
Okay, all right. I'll play a little bit. I mean, it's two minutes, but like, I won't play it all, but I'll play some of it. Okay, you ready?
Go away.
Matt and Forrest living life on their own. Nothing's at rest. Wild and free. They bring the magic. Exploring the unknown. Forever fantastic. Feeling the rush. Heartbeats collide in this world they've built, nowhere to hide. With each step they take, they break the mold. Their spirit's so electric, never growing old.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it just keeps going.
It's going.
They find the light.
Oh.
We conquer, man. We are always ready to fight, man.
This is... Oh.
Side by side. Honestly.
Mate, this is like, you know, if anyone comes to our wake, that's what's planned, mate.
That is... Honestly, so Rachel's so obsessed with this song. She's been singing it all week. And she thinks that you and I should do a music video of it at Comic-Con this year.
It would be... It's incredible. Do you know what this is like? This leans itself more to like, you know, early noughties where people would make like the YouTube video, but it's just all still images to a music background. I think it just would be like really like cheesy, like, you know, one of us laying down in the grass, smiling, giggling.
I've got to say, that is not the first and last time you're going to hear that song, dear listener. You're going to hear that song creep up so much. We're going to make content out of this. It is an absolute goldmine. What a song.
It, out of all the things I thought you like that it would sound like, it was, what did you put in for that?
Mate, that was the first one, right? So I just put, can you create a song about two people called Matt and Forrest who have a podcast together? And what I love about the song is that they took your name literally as a person, but they also used Forrest as the analogy that you and I are running through a forest together.
Genius.
Genius.
Like, that's a remarkable work from AI.
Forrest, I know this is taking up a lot of time in the episode, but that's not it.
Oh, here we go.
I'm gonna, now this is the introduction of potentially of a new podcast theme song, I'd say. So I kind of narrowed it down. Basically.
Hang on. It wasn't that.
That wasn't it. That was just personal for you and me.
It is episode 4 of Don't Be a Hero podcast. Tonight is the night.
I can't wait. Okay, so I can't remember which one it is, but basically there's two songs. There's a rock version and there's like a rap version of our podcast. Now I'll show. Maybe I'll do the rock version now and we'll do the rap one at the end of the podcast, okay? Just to get you two listening to make sure you've got to come and listen to this whole episode, all right? We've still got lots to talk about. Okay, so I put in the AI, okay, write a song about Matt Forrest, Don't Be Here podcast, MCU and DC podcast. And literally, it came up with this. And honestly, I was stunned.
AI is mental.
I'm a little bit in love with this song. Are you ready?
I can't wait. If you're in love with it and it's wrong, it's going to be good. Where the voices collide, there's a show that'll shake you up, take you for a ride.
We're not here for the fame.
Don't be a hero. Oh my god, come on, that is sensational. The lyric about they'll give their insights or something. I was like, oh my god, mate, this is dangerous, man.
Look what
it's doing for the industry. You could literally take that, put it online, and people would think that you've made that, and that it'd be like that would be hands down better than anything we could actually make.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
That's mental. It's alarming. It was absolutely alarming. I got this from a mate of mine who's currently in marketing and basically was talking about this. I can't remember. I think it's called Senno or Suno or something like that, where you can do the AI music. And honestly, I thought, I'll try it out. And the results, mate, honestly. So there is one more song I'll show you, but I'll show it at the end of the episode. But that, honestly, I've been playing that song for flipping days going, I love this, but I feel weird about it. As a musician, I feel weird about it.
Yeah, it's challenging for so many, but honest to God, that's a beat and a half. And I seriously considering that we use that on the rig.
I think so, mate.
That is just me. But do you not have to like pay to actually use it?
Nope.
Or can you use
it's
that?
It's all ours, mate. Sorry, as I
we're allowed to use that.
Yeah.
Just
nothing
outrage.
Nothing that stops you from using that.
What a life. What a world, mate. What a world we live in.
Or we get people like me to record something like that. Now we've got like a bass. I don't know, for an inspiration and just to sort of modify it a bit. But then is that copyright? Is that taking someone's intellectual property? Because a computer made that, not a person. Do you know what I mean? There's such a line here. What are you doing?
I don't know, but now we've heard something like that. That's just mental. Honestly, the fact that the I was listening to the lyrics to go, A, does this make sense? B, is it like relevant? All of it. Literally sounds like they've gone, right, we know what Don't Be a Hero is about.
Give me the guitar. It's like it looked us up.
Yeah.
And listened to a couple of episodes. In about a millisecond.
We went to see The Darkness live, right? And if The Darkness started singing, if Justin was up there singing that, we'd be like, oh my God, what a tune.
Yeah.
That is mental. I can't... It's like almost gone from very exciting for me to like just confused at how mental that is.
Honestly, mate. I'll send you the songs later on. You can listen to them. It's honestly mind-blowing.
And what's mad, right? And there's... So where I work, like, they are kind of using AI towards marketing and, you know, what can be achieved. And we're in, like, literally, what, AI became freely available, what, 2 years ago? Three years at a push? It can't be any longer than 2 years ago, right? No. It's all post-COVID. It became really accessible, right? Yeah. And we're already at the point where it can make that.
It's madness.
Imagine 5 years' time, Matt. You'll do something like that, and it will be like literally just. It's
really scary.
Isn't that words?
I don't. Yeah, I like that's amazing. I mean, that is amazing. But like, yeah, who knows what will happen next? I Forrest, this has got to be the biggest introduction to the podcast ever. We're not even talking about the thing we're meant to be talking about.
I mean, how can we when you've just like absolutely smashed rocking the best, man.
Slap at that bus.
Slap at that bus, man. Anyway, that's incredible.
We'll listen to another song at the end of the podcast, but let's get into the meat of this podcast.
You're such a little tease, you are, man.
I know I am. Yeah, I love a little bit of tease. Yeah. A little tease, it's all right.
I know that Matt's now said that, and he's going to go to sleep tonight going, why the fuck did I say that?
Immediately. it came straight out of my mouth, and I went, oh, no. That's what happens when you're tired, you have no filter. Right, okay.
So, episode 4-6, Loki series 2, mate.
Let's go straight in. Are we rolling those credits? I don't know. What are we doing?
God knows what we're doing.
We might have played it, we might have not. Who knows?
Let's roll the titles. Loki series 2. This is Don't Be a Hero podcast. See you on the other side. We're nearly half an hour in. Fantastic. Lovely. Lovely job. So episode 4, we see Renslayer helping He Who Remains. But basically, He Who Remains does her dirty. She ends up back at the TVA. He wipes her memory and everybody else's memory. And he asks Miss Minutes to do it. Now, I remember, again, this is slightly what we had with Secret Invasion, where we had the cliffhanger of Miss Minutes revealing to Renslayer in episode 3 that she, you know, she knows the secret. And then we find out the nature of the secret. And it's just, it's not worthy of a cliffhanger. We knew that everyone's memory had been wiped.
We spoke about this last week, and you know, talking about kind of Renslayer and Miss Minutes, who had the what's the situation there? Is it a love triangle? Do we think there's a love triangle, or is it, you know, is there a relationship there? It does kind of hint to me that there was something between the War General, that was Renslayer, prior to the mind wiping, and He Remains. The way that kind of bit kind of happened, and the fact that it was unveiled in that way as well, she has no recollection of it. I think it's weird, because I think this is one of those ones where it kind of gave you something about Renslayer and He Remains, but it didn't give enough. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you.
It kind of played that kind of, oh, there could have been something here. There's a camaraderie here. They work together. He's, you know, complimenting her and going, you know, thank you, you're part of this victory. You know, and it then kind of gets swept under the rug, or it gets left a little bit, because obviously later on in the episode, Renslayer gets pruned. So it's a weird one. It's a weird one. I don't know. I liked it, but it didn't complete itself.
Yes. Yep, I can go. Yeah. I can get on board with that.
Yeah.
So this episode is quite a lot of like. I find this episode, right, if I can describe it as such, Matt, as the chessboard episode. What do I mean by that, Matt? Well, I mean the chessboard episode is an episode where all of the pieces are kind of all over the place, right? We get into this episode, we've got Renslayer, with a secret. We've got Sylvie, at this point we have... Trying to go back on my notes to realise where we are. So Sylvie's come to kill Victor Timely. So there's a lot of different people in different places. Mm. And we're not quite sure at this point in the series of getting to, like, we don't know how the series is going to end, but we know that it must be pretty pivotal to the future of MCU. To where we are now, right? So there's a lot to be done before we can get there. But it's not... I wouldn't say that this episode, or even the episode after, are particularly interesting episodes. For me, I felt that 4 and 5 are kind of... I think so much happens so quickly in this series, and the final episode is so good that this episode, certainly... I if anything, I prefer the following episode... But this episode just feels a little bit like, yeah, okay, we're just seeing different people. It's little snapshots, but there doesn't seem to be anything like, it's quite substantial things happen in previous episodes. Whereas this episode just feels like okay, they're going from A to B. You know, Sylvie's running off back and forward. She's having a conversation with Loki. It doesn't seem very rooted, I suppose, for me.
For episode 4, I kind of agree with episode 4. But however, I do feel like it kind of... The ending of episode 4, I've got to say, is one of the biggest things that the MCU has ever done. But not before I talk about that, sorry, is the fact that we get answers around Loki... on how he got pruned in that first episode. Who pruned him in that first episode? It was Loki. Surprise, surprise. We get the kind of the reveal of Sylvie. We get a good scene with Loki and Sylvie about we are gods kind of thing. You know, we're not gods, we are gods kind of situation. Where they're having their pie, not pie. That's a good dramatic scene, I'd say. I think there's a little bit of character development in Victor Timely. It's really interesting. Mm. I don't know if I enjoy Jonathan Majors' Victor Timely performance. It kind of just... Mm. It's quite buffon-y. Do you know what I mean? It's quite clownish. It doesn't really... it doesn't match in your head, which it must be... And I mean, that's the choice. That it makes sense that's why the choice is, because we're all going, how can that possibly be Kang? You know, that's exactly why Sylvie decides not to kill him. You know, that is not Kang. sorry, I'm losing my voice. Which is a good start, isn't it? But the ending, mate. The ending.
Mm.
Come on. Come on.
I want to go back to the...
stuff.
Yeah, I want to just stroll back to what you were saying about Jonathan Majors and Kang, though. And I think, for me, watching this back and, you know, reading other people's comments about Victor Timely, about Jonathan Majors' performance, all of that stuff, I think what is missing with, I would argue, maybe not so much the Kang that we meet in Ant-Man, but definitely with Victor Timely, for me, there isn't enough Kang in the performance. So, yes, this is a different version of Kang, right? Which I believe it is. So all of these are Kangs. They're just different versions of Kangs. Now, my issue is there still should be the heart of the OG Kang needs to be there, right? Whereas this Victor Timely is so sickly sweet and like quirky and absurd. And I'm like, well, where's a bit of Kang?
Yeah. I mean, the Kang, do you mean? We don't see the Kang enough.
Yes.
Are you talking about Kang or Victor Timely? We don't see enough of Victor Timely, we don't see enough of a Kang.
In Victor Timely's before... So Kang is... Right, yeah, and I should know this. The OG Kang...
Yeah.
OG Kang is which variant? He who remains.
Yeah.
He Who Remains is Kang. Mm-hmm. The Kang. Yes, because he's at the end of time.
He's OG Kang.
Right. Now, there is not enough Kang, He Who Remains. Sorry, even I got confused because I started saying Kang way too many times. There's not enough He Who Remains personality in Victor Tomei. That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
I agree with you there.
Because this is all... whoever the original is, so in this case, He Who Remains, has to be in all their... Like, he is that person. It's just a different variant. So same with... And we got this. We got that in Series 1, actually, right? What am I saying? We got that when we were in the Void with all of the different Lokis.
Yeah.
All of the different Lokis still have the personality or the different personality traits of Loki.
Whereas
Victor Timely's nothing like Kang whatsoever, is he?
That's exactly it. There's not even a hint, not even an ism. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not even a little look to the camera or look away like, oh, I could be a little bit sinister. No, nothing like that is hinted in this Victor Timely. Again, I know that was deliberate. It was there for a point. But I think, yeah, I think we're right. I think it's kind of, there needed to be a little bit more of that. There was no threat. Again, it's very difficult at the moment in MCU to decide who the fuck is the villain.
Yeah.
in a comic book, you know, at the root of it, comic books, good versus evil, right?
Mm.
There is such a lack of it at the moment in certain series, and this is one of them. It's just there wasn't really much of that at all. Even Renslayer, you wouldn't say is a complete villain.
No,
she's just after something that's on a different opinion. It's strange, but. Moving forward then into the ending of episode 4, where we try to get the temporal loom sorted out. They do the first attempt. Victor Timely goes, do you know what? I'll do it. I'll go. And then get spaghettied immediately. Mm. Like, immediately. And I remember watching it the first time going like, wait, what? Is that it for him? That's when I thought like the real Kang was going to turn up. That's where I thought like OG Kang was going to come on and be like, ha ha, yeah, that's Victor Timely. He does this. That's what he's meant to do. And then he would come and have a big fight with Loki. But no, what happens is that it actually explodes and all of the timelines implode with it. And cut to black, that is the episode.
Episode done.
That's incredible, like, ending. I remember thinking, everybody kind of being like, wait, is that it? Is that it? Like, what? How do you come out? How do you come away from that? Do you know what I mean? How do you come out of that? So anything beyond those thoughts will be a slight disappointment. And I've got to be honest, now moving on to the beginning of episode 5, the fact that he spaghettied and time looped into everybody, all of his friends' timelines, it's kind of like, okay, fine. Okay.
I think that's actually when I kind of was like, all right, fine, whatever. I think now we're talking about it. I think that actually episodes 4 and 5, for me, both of them have quite a weak like first half. So the first half of episode 4 is a bit meh. It's a bit okay. Yeah. A lot of chitter chatter, not much action going on. For a series that has got an incredible amount of action and very fast paced, episode 4 is a big deviation from that.
Yeah.
And then episode 5, again, like as you just said, first half is like, oh, okay, we just need a filler episode. So he's just going to go and see all these people who don't remember him with lives that are going to be absolutely not relevant in an episode's time, because what would they be? We're not going to go back to, you know, Dom, a.k.a. Mobius. So it's... cat scratching at the door, so apologies for that. It was just the first half of the episode bit weak, but then we get, I think, the minute that we get the meeting of OB in the past, and we get that whole kind of science and fiction talk, and then basically Loki comes up with this whole like theory of going centuries back in the past in order to learn all of this science. I think that's great, because actually that gives us substance for what is going to happen.
There's a lot of context playing out, and I think kind of the motives between the characters. I really like, as much as I was kind of like, okay, fine, we're going to go get some more context from these characters, I actually really like the payoff that we got for Mobius in the ski jet. You know, the fact that he's actually in the timeline, he was once a seller for ski jets. And am I saying the right thing? Ski jets? Jet skis? Wrong way around, Matt.
Jet skis, jet skis.
And I thought that was quite good. And nice little callback as well to season one. And I think there was a lot of audience push for that as well to see it. And the fact that we see him on the jet ski, and he's got the wind flying through the air. We've got some hard rock music, much like the podcast song that we've just listened to. What cracking AI that is. And then I think it does give context. It does play its role in furthering like character. We do also get a really awesome bit for Hunter B-15, who was a nurse.
Yes, we do, yeah.
And I think that was really nice, and I think it kind of shows the nurturing side of her, and also the kind of real conscientious side of her as well, with the fact that when we do kind of get to know her a little bit better, obviously she's very much a part of the TVA, not thinking about her past memories in season one, but as she kind of learns more about her past, she realizes that actually this isn't the best thing to do. Hang on, we need to have more empathy and compassion. And the fact that she was a nurse and a doctor, that kind of makes sense. And it's a real, it kind of marries quite nicely to the character. However, I do feel like we could have got a little bit more from it. I would have been really interested to see when that was. Was that before the blip? Was that kind of was that an opportunity to kind of like, you know, see her in a moment where it's of a heightened moment, where it might be, she might be in Sokovia, for instance, in Ultron, like she could be like helping out in as a paramedic around there, or helping out during the Battle of New York and stuff. I don't know if there's a reference to it. My mind's telling me that there was.
I believe there is, Matt, because I believe he goes back to 2012 specifically. That's so he is at the Battle of New York.
Yes, right.
But yeah, like I said, apart from a timestamp, we don't get any kind of connection to that.
I really enjoyed that in Hawkeye. The first episode of Hawkeye, we learned about Kate Bishop, which she is in the middle of the Battle of New York, and you get it from a completely different perspective, and you're like, oh my God, you don't think about all the other people that it affected, you know? And that's a callback to our first episode when we talk about Iron Man. You know, you were talking about all the people that you love, all the people that are kind of like affected around Iron Man's journey, and we got a new perspective, and I was completely shitting all over it. But, you know.
Oh, mate, remember those old conversations? Oh, yeah. it's been a long time since we've talked about the general population being involved in the films and TV series. That's don't get that anymore, do we?
About. No, we don't. We don't talk about enough. But
there's something I want to say at this point. So we're talking about the different characters that Loki sees. Now, during the trailer for Series 2, there was a clip of Frank, a.k.a. Casey. All you see is Casey in, like, I think, kind of like, it looks quite a dingy like area, a bit like a cell. And people kind of quite rightly theorised that it was Alcatraz, which it turns out to be.
Yeah.
Now I found it quite funny because during the trailers everyone was proper, you know, it's Alcatraz. Oh my God, it's, you know, it's Casey. What's Casey doing there? Big. Out of all of the story, the backstories that we learn about in this episode, that was the most pointless and almost quite boring of all of the story. And it was quite fascinating that that's the one they decided to tease. And that's the one that people theorized, got excited by. And what for? Like, we don't learn it. There's no reason why Frank had to be in Alcatraz. All it was worked as a narrative point so that Loki could rock up and Casey would, Frank would want to disappear through the teleportation device because he wanted to get out of there as quick as possible. But that was it. It was a right letdown.
I feel like it was a link to something that was originally intended for the series. So just on IMDb, there's a bit of trivia that says that the series was originally meant to follow Loki popping up throughout human history as an unlikely influence on historical events. And obviously we got little like snippets of that, you know, in season one. But also, this kind of feels like that's what it was nodding to as well. Like the fact that, oh yeah, this could be kind of like timey-wimey in the fact that, yeah, we can change the events of history or kind of reveal things in events of history. And it kind of put that into his character ever so slightly, but it didn't ever flesh it out or explain it. Or, to be fair, let's be honest, at this point in the season, is that needed? I couldn't say it is. I would have been more interested if he was just like, you know, just living a normal life, much like Mobius, like just in a different kind of world. You know, maybe he's I don't know. I was going to suggest he's golfing. He's a professional golfer. I don't know.
Oh, that's incredibly exciting television. Thank you. But yeah, there was just no reason for it because there's no heart back to that in Casey's character. It's not like you go, oh, Casey's a bloody dodgy one. I bet he was in Alcatraz in a former life.
No. Yeah.
There's nothing like that. So what's the point? Whereas Mobius, you could believe that he would be a salesman. 100%, the character of Mobius would lend itself to that as a backstory, right? He's very approachable. He's got to where he, you know, loads of reasons.
If he had more of a like a normal kind of upbringing, it also explains it and might benefit a little bit more to the fact that all of these TVA agents had a normal life.
Mm.
Had a very normal human life, which was something that Sylvie was yearning for in her whole journey. So it kind of, actually, when you think about it, the fact that I suggested him being a professional golf player or whatever isn't so far-fetched because it kind of gives it an all full circle with that central of Sylvie just wanting to work at McDonald's the rest of her life and listening to vinyl.
Very true. Very true. That's a piece of TV gold that we missed out on there, mate.
Honestly, I really think that one thing would have changed everything.
Yeah.
would have gone from a 90 something for Rotten Tomatoes to straight 100. You know what I mean?
Straight 100. Would have been one of the best Marvel properties you've ever seen in your life.
Wow. Yeah. Had a bit of a
hole in one. Very nice. That would have been beautiful. Oh, I'll tell you what, the reviewers would have called it a hole in one. Oh. No, it was something. What a smash hit.
Episode 6, Loki gives a hole in one.
there we go.
Fun. Lower the tone. So, all right.
Episode 5 ends with Loki figuring out he can control his time slips.
What do you think about that bit? I think I quite enjoyed it. I quite enjoyed that last sequence. Mm. It was quite the high stakes. We get a beautiful moment in the last quarter of the episode with Sylvie and Loki in the bar talking about, and Sylvie just like pressing him like some sort of counselor. It was amazing. Like, what do you want? I want to sort out the sacred timeline. No, what do you want? I want to sort out the branches. Oh, what do you want? I want to make sure Mobius is okay. What do you want? No, I just want my friends.
Breaks it down.
It's a great piece of writing, and I think it's a great scene. And it shows such vulnerability to Loki. And I've got to say, Tom Hiddleston and Sophia in that moment absolutely smash it from an acting standpoint. You can really feel the fact that he has, for the first time in Loki's journey, has experienced friendship, kinship, truthfully. Not brotherly love, not, you know, the relationship he has with Thor, which is complex and layered as any sibling, you know, relationship is. This is just at the root of it, friendship and being part of that within a group. And for one person to experience that for the first time is actually a really profound thing. Mm. And it comes across like that. And I've got to give that a massive props. I've got to be one of my most favorite, and I've got to say it, one of my most favorite scenes out there in most recent MCU projects. It's great. Beautifully performed. Beautiful.
Beautiful. Beautiful moments. Lovely. Yeah, agreed. So we go from end of episode 5 into the big one. Big one, episode 6. We hit it all. We hit the ground running big time, where Loki asks OB what could be done differently. We get various different attempts where he tries to bring Timely like out quicker and quicker and quicker to no avail. And then I think I said this earlier, and I think I wrongly said it was in episode 5, but it's in this episode where Loki goes back centuries and centuries and kind of learns everything that Obi like knows so that he can work out the science behind it and all of that jazz. I thought that was great. I really liked that section. Like I felt like they did an incredible job during this series of explaining things, no matter how difficult to understand the things that they're explaining. It always felt that they've really thought about how it can be like done within the framework of the show. So it never felt like there was a massive, loophole or a massive kind of, I'm trying to think what the word is, where it's like a huge jump to what the reality of the situation. Do you know what I mean? It always felt like it was clearly.
Yeah, it never felt far-fetched.
Yeah, that's basically it. That's it.
Yeah, the idea never felt like it was too far to reach for any, you know, audience member to really grasp and believe. Like it, in all fairness, you know, for something that is actually it's all about time travel. It's all about that. And the moment you go into time travel and you go into the science behind it, it can get quite confusing for anyone, but it does keep to it truthfully very well about kind of focusing on the fact that we've got these branch timelines. It's all going a bit askew. They're constantly branching. There's a consistent stream of timelines that are building and breaking, and everything's imploding on itself. You need the temporal loom, blah, blah, blah. You need all of that to help it and put that in there to press that button and hopefully everything will be okay. Simple. Simple.
Just get it done already, for God's sake.
I think, but what it does for this episode, it circles back, doesn't it? It just circles back to what episode 1 was. Episode 1 was about the same objective. It was about the same thing. Getting the temporal loom sorted out and pressing this button. It's the same thing. We just go back and we see it played out in a different way. We see it played out in a more focused way. What I love about it in this bit is that we've seen a journey for Loki. We have seen at this point now Loki grow, not just from a personality standpoint, but also grow in terms of strength as a superhero, anti-hero, villain, whatever we want to call him now. But you know, the fact that he can time travel, he can, you know, he can loop through time, he is, you know, at the end of it, the master of time. It gives the sense of what the well-roundedness. And I think Tom Hiddleston said this himself. He said episode 6 is the completion of a 14-year journey for one character, and that is what it is. And it comes down to, at the end of it all, glorious purpose. That is what Loki asked for. That is what Loki declared. That is what he demanded. And at the end of it, from a very long route and a very long time of going through travel and learning about, you know, quantum mechanics and all that kind of stuff, when he had to go through the timelines now again and again and again and again, learn more from OB, and how long, and again, I dread to think how long that took. That must have took hundreds of years for him to kind of like actually know how to, you know, manufacture and operate the machinery towards we get to that final moment. But yet he becomes this god, properly god, a proper god, like more than a god, an entity, you know.
So with that, right, so he goes back hundreds of years. Now, in that time, many, 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 many things have happened to Loki.
Yeah.
Many things have happened to his family. Many things have happened to Thor.
Yeah.
Now, all we see is the science that he has gained from going back. Is there going to be a little surprise in Thor 5? Has he gone back and potentially changed some certain family scenarios that we don't know of yet?
Could you imagine if, like, is it Frigga?
Frigga is mum.
Yeah.
Could be alive. Odin could be alive.
Baldur the Brave could turn up.
I mean, it gives us a plot for Thor 5. That's for sure.
But that is the thing, like, right? Because, like, I'd hate to think, right, like, for instance, if Thor finds out, like, where Loki is, it's like, oh, he can't sit on that throne the whole time. He can't be holding the timelines together like that. He's my brother. I need him, blah, blah, blah. And you can see Thor just actually screwing it up. That doesn't make sense. It can't happen like that. So maybe the only way we do see Loki is, between those moments.
And he's...
Because his story's ended, really.
Yeah. And because he would use that time to tell Thor what he's about to do, right?
Yeah.
So maybe we've found ourselves Thor 4. Because the... What was the other thing I was thinking of? Oh, yeah. Normally, in order to, cut that thought from everyone's brain, he would be actively told, as we find out, with time travel, we hear every time, the person's always told, don't change anything about history. Don't change your story, your overall story, or other people's journeys don't affect time. He wasn't told that, and we don't hear anything about anything else. Now, for me, that is massive. He's changed all kinds of shit.
Maybe that is what I don't. I mean, I don't. Are we getting the Loki series season 3?
What would be the point, mate? You can't have a Loki series 3, can you?
There won't. According to Men's Health, it says Loki is likely to not happen and it won't have a season 3.
Out of all of the comic book sources, Men's Health is not the source that I thought you'd be coming out with.
It was the top one, mate. It took 0.31 seconds for it to pop up. Well, apparently, according to Screen Rant, which is a little bit more to our... Which was actually... This is of an update of the 5th of April, so this is new. This is of this month. Loki Season 3 is happening more than 2 years later, but not how you think.
Ooh.
Loki Season 2 was the perfect ending for the story or that MCU series is set to tell, but Season 3 is coming in an unexpected way. I'm not going to read out loud. I'm just going to try and think. I think you're right.
Well, I'm right about him. He's changed a load of things in the past.
Well, so the sacrifice led to Loki. And again, this is the thing. He's become a god, but the god of stories. And like you say, he's got all these years around him. And there's something to play around the fact of stories. Loki could be controlling people as well on the timelines and influencing certain characters in the timelines as well.
Because
you could potentially play that.
Because if he did go back and he learned all this science, we're supposed to believe that everything Loki did to his dad, his mum, with Thanos, to his brother, all of those things. So he just purely went back, learned this science, but everything else he kept exactly the same. There is no way on earth the god of mischief is doing that.
Mm-hmm.
He would 100%, and surely that doesn't make sense with his whole kind of, I'm gonna jeopardize my life to save everybody else, right? That his journey is about him moving away from being a bastard and being a bit more understood, a bit more three-dimensional. So surely he would go back and make certain changes to certain decisions.
Well, see, apparently the original intention, before everything went down with Jonathan Majors, the original intention for Kang Dynasty was that it was going to be a successor from season 2 of Loki. So the Loki's journey was going to thread very heavily into Kang Dynasty. But again, I don't, with everything that's changed, I don't know if that's going to be the case, but we're still getting that movie, so I'd be very surprised to know that if the writers have got rid of the Loki thread because of the situation. But I really loved how this ended. I really loved how season 2 ended. However, I feel like it was a little bit too much.
It felt like it was a bit much for what? Sorry, in what regard?
Just how Loki kind of built himself. I don't know. Was it too much? Maybe it was Maybe it was just paced. It was paced well. No, it was paced well. I'm going back on that. It was paced well.
Yeah, I'm reading through different comments about this time. No one's really said the same thing I've said, but yeah, I'm very intrigued by that, and for me that kind of gives Thor 5 a reason to exist. So I'm gonna die on that sword and say that he's gone back, changed a load of stuff, and we're about to see all that wonderful stuff changed. And I'm gonna hope
for that. 2 seconds, mate. I've got. Can we pause for a second?
Oh, we're gonna pause. We'll see you in a minute.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So yes, Loki, the end, we get to the end, he's managing all the timelines, the tree of Yggdrasil. Do you know what that is? That's the tree that we see at the end. Do you not know this?
Oh, I thought it was just called a yew tree.
No, mate, it's the tree of Yggdrasil. Is a tree in Norse mythology that contains the nine realms that make up the cosmos. In Norse mythology, the tree and its worlds make up the entire universe. It's an ash tree that's strongly associated with Odin, a major god. So that's the tree that he has pulled together, my friend. It's a sacred tree of the sacred timeline.
Is that something that he has thought of? Or it just so happened to like form itself in that way.
Well, it's not someone who's he's walking through, isn't he? And he's just grabbing multiple because they're all kind of spinning all over the place, aren't they? So he grabs a load of branches together and holds them, and then he gets to the chair, his throne, where He Who Remains was, and then sits down, and he's got all of them there, isn't he? So he's not actively done that. It's just happened by chance. But then that's created this tree, which then links into mythology. It's a beautiful tree.
It works really well. I think that whole sequence at the end was just absolutely brilliant. I think going back to what I was just saying before I got really interrupted by the door, was that the section of Loki walking through was drawn out.
Yeah,
I liked it, but it was drawn out a little bit long.
Okay,
you know what I mean, I did really enjoy it. I really like the reveal, obviously, with this kind of like ethereal cloth version of Loki's outfit, and we get the horns back and all that kind of jazz. Great. However, it just kind of went on a little bit. I think that's an unpopular opinion, by the way.
I agree.
Do you?
I quite liked it, Matt. I got to say, I enjoyed it.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said you agree. Sorry, you don't agree.
I don't agree. I agree with the people who don't agree.
The 98%, 99.9% that loved it so much. But yeah,
I did like it because it's such a monumental moment. And like you said earlier, it's very visual. Motif. I enjoyed it.
I'm not moaning about it.
You've been moaning about it for about 10 minutes, man. You fucking hate it. You thought it was dog shite and that all of this was awful.
just a little bit long. But it was good. I think seeing the moment with him on the throne, his own kind of throne that he finally got, sat down with all those timelines around it, mate, was cool. Great poet, great payoff. A little bit long. Great payoff. Yeah, a little bit long.
A little bit long.
Can you imagine me just like watching the final cut of it? Right, okay, we're just going to show you this moment. Yeah, good payoff. Yeah, it's a little bit long, isn't it? Yeah, it's quite long, isn't it? A little bit long? No? Okay, just me. All right. Cool, yeah.
You're slurping on your chocolate milkshake going, oh, I've got to the end of the milkshake in time.
You know better than me, mate. It's not a chocolate milkshake, mate. We know what it is.
It's an Oreo milkshake. Oh, by the way, sorry. I just want to use this to shout out the Curzon Cinema for your Oreo milkshake.
Thank you so much.
The greatest Oreo milkshake is at Curzon Cinemas. So thank you.
So good.
So when they sponsor us, Curzon, yeah. Where you at? Drop us an Oreo milkshake, sweetheart. Come on.
I'm a member now. Yeah. Are you a member?
Are you a member? Are you?
I haven't used my free tickets yet.
I'm still holding out for free membership courtesy of the podcast. One day. Keep the dream alive.
One day.
I used to be a member. Quality. Anyway, this is taking the segue that's going to utterly bore our listeners, but that's lovely. So I think we've got to the end of Loki. Give us your overall review, mate.
I don't feel like we've kind of shouted about how good this series is enough, but like it is a very strong season. It's certainly better than season one, definitely succeeds it. It's for me, this is like from a crisp rating standpoint, because that's what we do in this podcast. I'm going to give it. It's difficult, isn't it? I feel like I'm running out of crisps, by the way. So I might have to recycle some of these. I'm going to go for, because I love them, beef hula hoops.
Oh, that's a strong crisp. That is a strong crisp. I'm going to go for, because I like them, a crisp that I had only today. A Texas barbecue Pringle.
Oh, yeah, they're a flipping gold standard, they are. They are. A bit of a staple now.
But you forget about them.
You do.
And then you see them in the aisle and you're like, oh my God, it's a Texas barbecue Pringle.
Very nice.
Oh, it's once you pop, you just can't stop. Get inside my system. Let's get ready. Put on your seatbelt. I'm ready to go. it's fantastic. Yeah, well, but what a series. An incredible feat. Far better than the first series, which wasn't even that bad, but I think the series just packs more of a punch. Where will we go next? Nobody really knows, because we don't know what's going to happen with Kang. As of yet, we have no official announcement about what's happening with the story of Kang. But I'm pretty sure with Deadpool 3 taking a big part of the TVA, you can only assume we're going to find out some magical shit is about to go down in Deadpool 3.
100%. Give us your thought, dear listeners, on Loki Series 2. Check out our interview episode we had last week with Alex Foreman that went up on Friday last week. Such a great interview. He played Behemoth in episode 3, and it was a great chat. And we've got some reels that have been coming out this week on the episode, but it's done really well as well. So thank you very much for everybody that's listened to it as well. Honestly, this is the whole reason why we're doing it as well. Not just the fact that we love each other so much. We want to talk to you every week. Have a lot of time for me and for us. Have a little chinwag. But, you're part of it too, right?
You're here listening to us just chewing the fat.
Chewing that fat. There's no topic that is too taboo. I think that's the lyric, wasn't it? There's no topic that's too taboo.
Too taboo. It was fantastic. Next week, we've got the Marvels.
This is the one I'm really excited for. Genuinely.
Deep dive into the Marvel. I just don't believe.
I've had conversations with. I've had a conversation.
You've had conversations with your wife, and she said, this. "Can you stop hating on women-centric films and TV series?" And you. and your wife said, "Matt, mate, honestly, it's not a good image for the Juice and Family."
Unbelievable. And I have no comeback. I have literally no comeback. I have nothing but like, I will watch this again with open eyes, open hearts. All right. And I'll embrace it for what it is. And hopefully it will be a lot better than I originally thought.
I am obviously, aside from ripping you a new one, I'm genuinely excited for to watch Marvels. I think there was some bits of gem. I remember there was a lot of moments where you were like, okay, they've cut a lot of this scene and now it doesn't quite make any sense. So I'm interested to see that again. And then after that, I've got to tell you, I'm more excited to watch Echo because neither one of us have watched Echo yet. And that's the next one after the next.
And that's when we've caught up. We are so close to finishing this. It's crazy to think, genuinely, how far we've come. We're only a couple of weeks away as well from turning two as well. So our second anniversary for the podcast is coming up.
18th of May.
And I think, if we do Echo, because it's a mini series in one episode, I think that might be the official catch up episode, which would also mean our second year anniversary.
Well, look at that.
So we've done everything in 2 years.
That's mental. That would be mental. We've caught up in exactly 2 years would be an absolute dream.
And this is the other thing. So after we've caught up, dear listener, we did announce like a month or so ago that we are going to do The Boys in the run-up for the new series of The Boys coming out. So we will be reviewing The Boys once we've caught up on the MCU, which is so soon, so I can't wait for us to do that. Mate, you've never watched that, have you?
I have never watched it. I've never watched a full episode at all. So we're going to do The Boys, we're going to do Daredevil, we're going to do all sorts of stuff. We haven't done the Batman trilogy. We did one of the Batmans,
Dark Knights.
Dark Knight. Shaun of the Dead, I'd like to do finally. Yeah. Do the Cornetto trilogy. There's loads of stuff. So absolute much. Tons of stuff. Let us know what you'd like to see. dumbyherodpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know on Instagram. Talk to us on Twitter, on TikTok, all sorts. Tiki taki. But do you know what I think we need if we are nearly 2 years old?
Yeah.
I think if only there was a way to get AI to create a rap theme tune for us.
Oh, I've got just the thing for you, my friend.
No way, Matt.
To play us out, I've got a potential new contender for a new theme song for us. Are you ready for it?
I can't wait.
Dear listener, take care of yourselves. This is a
we'll see you next week. Take care.
Take care. And Forrest on the mic, bringing the podcast heat. Talking Marvel, talking DC, they got knowledge on elite. Like superheroes in the night, they shine so bright. Analyzing every storyline, making sure it's right. Exploring the depths of the comic book realm. From the Marvel universe to Gotham's dark hell. They dive into the origins, the heroes past. Unveiling twists and turns that forever last. Don't be a hero, they say, just be yourself. But they're here to remind us to stack those shelves. With knowledge and insight, they break it down. From the Avengers to the Justice League, all around.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Don't Be a Hero podcast. If you have any comments, feedback, or any thoughts, email us at don'tbeaherocast@gmail.com.
Make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and other streaming platforms for future content.
And to keep up to date on all things Don't Be a Hero, follow us on our Instagram or our TikTok at Don't Be a Hero Podcast. We'll see you there.